come from Memphis, Tennessee, grew up in the inner city, African American, and much of my experiences and that of a few other scientists that I know, we pretty much arrive at science on our own. We don't have a lot of mentored or deliberately open spaces. And I would like to see, to make that easier, and I think one of the things we can do, particularly in classrooms as demographics are changing, is to have very deliberately culturally relevant conversations and lectures in science class. I reference quite a bit to hip-hop to explain, you know, biological and evolutionary concepts.
What are some examples?
A good example is there's a mating strategy or a tactic called extra pair copulations. And so up until around the 1980s, we always believed that songbirds were monogamous. You know, we know they come together, males and females, they're a pair, they raise their young together. We started doing essentially paternity tests for birds. And we were discovering that a lot of these babies in that nest were not necessarily the offspring of the presumed father, of the mated male. And so the term we use to explain that is called extra pair copulation. And as I was learning about this concept, very intuitive to me, I was like, you down with EPC? Yeah, you know me. And if you think about the song OPP by Naughty by Nature, without changing a single lyric, that song perfectly describes the evolutionary biology term of extra pair copulation. Yeah, you know me. You down with OPP? Yeah, you know me. Who's down with OPP? And then it was like, you know, what is OPP? Hey, ladies, you ever felt a man you were feeling that she had a, you and your girls were partners that had a fall, a disagreement, yeah, an argument. You tried to do it, but we did it in my apartment. Bless it. If you listen to the lyrics of the song, he's describing multiple scenarios, one from the female's point of view and then another from the male's point of view, of the what he does and what a woman may do to sneak behind their mated partner to have sex with someone. And then, especially in the male, in the verse that he does from his perspective as a male, he was like, and his girl kept catching feelings. And I told it, you know, you, this was a little thing you shouldn't have brought your heart. You knew I was OPP right from the very start. And the rule number one in this OPP establishment is to keep your mouth shut and it won't get back to her or him. And so, it would literally, without changing a single word, and I have completely can teach an entire classroom of folks who may say that they have no interest in evolution, particularly if you think about African-American urban demographics, you know, oh, we're not interested in science, or there's this presumption that they're not interested in science. But what they are is just simply underserved, and they haven't been approached in a way that's relevant. And by using songs and lyrics that are already popular, that people know and they can relate to and they jam to, and then just simply do a pause to go, you know, this song explains this concept that is really fundamental and that a lot of researchers have been studying and built their careers on.
What's the reaction you've gotten from your students?
They actually love it and they get into it. And so how I work my class is the first couple of classes, I'll give the lectures straight from the textbook. I have certain songs and videos queued up to explain what I call the general concepts. We're reading papers, we're reading textbooks, and just as like in a paper, you would have to reference literature to write your paper or to give your presentations, my students have to simultaneously recite papers and textbooks as well as song lyrics. And so they have to go through, so it goes two ways. I'll put a video up and then we'll discuss it. We'll discuss the song, we'll discuss the lyrics. And then I'm making them think themselves, so process. Now tell me what biological concepts we've covered in this class, we've covered in a textbook that are demonstrated in this song or in this video. And then it goes the opposite. They'll just get papers to read. So like in any other traditional class, you just read all these science papers. Now their challenge is all on their own, go find several songs that completely embody this concept.
And it can be any song.
It can be any song. I use hip hop because that's a personal reference. But in a lot of my classes, I've also used a lot of examples from like top 40 and rap music.
Do you do this just for classes with a predominantly large segment of the student population, maybe African American, maybe underserved, or do you do this in every class you teach?
I have done it in every class I teach, but I've happened to teach at urban campuses where it's a little bit more mixed.
What's Cornell?
Cornell, I haven't had a chance to teach there yet.
I mean, is it an urban campus?
No. It's not an urban campus. It's a nice little Ivy school and all the assumptions you could
well
come
do,
with
then
that.
Do some of the things that you've been doing right now, would that apply at Cornell?
I imagine they would. And so this is the other, so one of the other challenges that I had when I first started doing essentially applying hip-hop pedagogy in the college classroom, I got a lot of pushback from people.
From your colleagues?
From my colleagues, older colleagues, more senior colleagues.
What kind of pushback?
the idea that it's too popular, you're popularizing, nobody understands. Is it too specialized for a certain culture? Like, would everybody apply to? In other words, the fear that it was only relevant to Black kids or those from cities. And my pushback was that hip-hop is pop music. If you cut on the average radio station, hip-hop has completely pervaded general culture. I mean, I've heard country songs making reference to hip-hop in rap songs, and so it's completely universal at this point. And if you think about what kids are partying to, regardless of what they look like and what community they come to, they're jamming and dancing to songs by T-Pain and Nelly and P. Diddy. And so hip-hop is absolutely universal. I was truly just using my personal experiences and bringing them to the classroom because I wanted to relate to the students that were coming in my classroom. And that's essentially how many of us who have started this is still considered burgeoning, because you got to think about it this way. You have a lot of Gen Xers, which I am, who grew up with rap music in the 80s when it was really coming up. We are now junior faculty now. We are now beginning to make our own footprint in the academy.
You're like the next generation of educators.
Absolutely. And so we're bringing our aesthetic, we're bringing our ways of knowing and understanding standing and relating to students to the table, and we're bringing this. And so it kind of independently emerged as we all matured and got our degrees and started getting jobs and working in academia. What I've witnessed in the academy is that there seems to be an overemphasis of Western ways of knowing and reiterating and sharing information, such that if you don't speak in perfect jargon, then you're often judged as not understanding and not comprehending and not being cut out for science.
I mean, have you experienced that sort of response from your peers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would say the majority of my college as well as graduate education was me defending the fact that I comprehended information and that I understood what I was doing and that I deserved to be there. But somehow, if I didn't use certain words the right way, or if I misused a term here or there, or if, frankly, because I was using my own metaphors, which were only relevant to me, and other students who, quite frankly, I'm just not representative of most student bodies in biology graduate programs, then the look and the presumption is, well, you just don't get it. And it's not that you don't get it because you don't get it. You don't get it because I don't, simply because I fail to comprehend your language or I fail to comprehend your metaphors.
What's it going to look like 10, 15, 20 years from now?
I think the jury's still out. It could still look exactly the same. And the reason I say that is because if you look at what's happening at the faculty level in STEM, there has not been hardly any movement in the diversity of faculty. And even when they do make a lot of new hires, the tenure rate of African-American, Latino-American, and Native American faculty, men or women are all together, is still just as bad as it was in the 80s. So potentially it could look just the same.